We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. So it's for all on the bench. You know it's winter here, Mafia, when, like, not only is it freezing ass every day, but it's like it's snowing even when it's not supposed to be snowing. You know what I mean? Like, it snowed on Sunday night, and it wasn't supposed to snow. And then nobody said anything about snow tonight, and it's been snowing tonight. You know, it just snows, and it's like whenever it wants, it just starts snowing. Like, you know, you got all these fancy weather people constantly telling you exactly what the weather is going to be to the minute of every day. Like, they tell you exactly the minute it's going to start raining every hour, right, or snowing. And nobody said anything about snow today. Literally, I saw Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, sun and just cold with no wind, no snow. The first chance of snow was Saturday, a possible nor'easter again, but they're not certain about that, but they think we're going to get hit. And then sure enough, tonight it's been snowing for 3 hours. I mean, like, you know it's winter when it snows when it's not supposed to snow. And you know it sucks here. So I actually am starting to, I'm actually like leaning toward being kind of stoked that we're going to LA to get out of here. You know, to the Super Bowl, that we're going to do shows with Sports Grid TV, Sports Grid Radio out in Lipstick City for the Super Bowl week at SoFi and at, you know, Radio Row and at the LA Convention Center and wherever the hell else we're going to be doing it, Sirius XM. That to me sounds kind of inviting right now based on, you know, being around here freezing my ass off, and I go out every morning at 7 a.m. and I got to wipe snow off the car every day and shovel snow. Sick of it. And it's just, it's not even close to being over, right? We got all of January, all of February, all of March. You know, it never ends in March around here. I mean, it's literally, you go to like, I think late April, literally. I mean, I'm convinced it goes till like the third week of April at least. Cause you go to like, they start playing baseball in April and, right, like at Yankee Stadium, you go out there, you freeze your ass off. In Citi Field, you'll be freezing. You'll be wearing a winter jacket to the games in April. You know I'm telling it like it is. I mean, it's that simple. You know, the thing is, winter never ends here. It's like, they're like, yeah, it's spring now. Yeah, spring my ass as I'm sitting there shoveling snow and wearing a winter jacket at a baseball game.
Right, you're right that it's not over. I mean, it's barely even started. I mean, we've gotten, what, like twice? We've gotten, you know, like 2 inches of snow, and that's it? That's nothing. We're still waiting on, you know, some big foot and a half storm at some point, at least once or twice this winter. So there's still plenty to go. The herd was supposed to get a bunch this weekend, so we'll get a good hit of that before we even get out of here to L.A. But it's definitely more snow coming, and it goes until March, April. Like you said, the first week of baseball season, and how many times do you see, you know, especially here or Denver or Milwaukee, you know, games canceled because of snow in the first, you know, month?
I mean, it's just automatic. I mean, it's absolutely automatic. We welcome in all of our radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in San Diego, near to you, wanna do you, wanna Sports Map Radio Network in Houston, Sports Byline USA in the city by the bay, Deepak holding it down for us. And, of course, Armed Forces Radio. Hoorah, Soder, hoorah. So, anyway, Mafia, what did you think? Because I'm done with wide right, okay? Is the Bills' worst moment in history, losing the Super Bowl? I actually think I think the 13 seconds against the Chiefs will just blow that right out of the water.
Yeah, I agree. Because, as you said, you know, people miss field goals. It sucks. But it happens. They're not the only ones to ever lose a game on a field goal that you thought they were going to hit that they just missed or something. Or, you know, I remember, what was it, a couple, 5-7 years ago when the Saints, like, had the game tied up and the guy missed the extra point and they lose the game that way. I know it's regular season, not playoffs or Super Bowl. Still, there's plenty of teams with missed kicks throughout their history. That is something I don't think I've ever seen. know, you even with Brady and Manning, you would see, you know, like, oh, he can't leave Rodgers. You know, you can't leave these guys too much time. Like, well, we saw it when it, this year was a Rodgers that had like 40 seconds and got them down for the field goal. So it happens, but 13 seconds when you basically have enough for 3 to 4 plays and that's it, and you're starting at your own 25, you don't see that. I don't think I've ever seen that, and you know, maybe I'll see it once more in my lifetime, if at all. That is absolutely the worst loss that the Bills have had. You know, even worse than the Music City Miracle, because that was just bad reffing. That was bad defense.
That was
bad game planning.
Illegal.
Bad everything. Right.
But I got to tell you, listen, there was two plays, right? It was two plays, one to Hill, one to Kelsey, and they were kicking a field goal on the third play. That's what it was. It was three plays total. They had 13 seconds. He threw two passes. Pharrell on the bench. We'll come back and talk more about that just devastating loss. And then the other three games.
Listening to Sports Grid, the home of the winning edge, carrying on the fine tradition of sports gaming from all the way back to ancient Rome. But they never had a mobile app. So count your blessings, Sporto. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench with Scott Pharrell.
All right, Pharrell on the bench. So, yeah, I got to tell you. So, Phoenix will win that game over Utah by 6. And I think, didn't you send me that this morning? I think the Jazz covered that number. Unless I'm crazy, I think you sent me. Let's see. Yeah, I covered. Oh, no, I laid it. Damn. I thought I took the Jazz. Damn, that just ruined my night. I had it all going and then just ruined my night. I was fine until then, just now. I was great. Everything was great until just now. And my egg cracked. So, anyway, whatever. Here's the deal. The Bills, I just cannot absorb what happened. And there's nothing I can do about it, right? So the game's over. The Chiefs win. The Chiefs go play the Bengals in the AFC title game. And it makes me sick to my stomach because I just felt like, I'll be honest with you, I said it today. Josh Allen, to me, is amazing. And what he did with Davis throwing 4 touchdown passes to that guy was insane. And scoring with 1:56 left and then with 13 seconds left, throwing touchdowns when they got the ball back with a minute left and he went down the field and did that. That was amazing to me. And then to see Tyreek Hill run at 60-plus yards, and then not only that, but, you know, you can't even deny that he taunted everybody when he got down to the 10-yard line, and he just started waving his finger at everybody. I mean, they've been throwing the taunting penalty all season long in the NFL. It's the one thing they changed about the league this year was the taunting, and he taunted them all the way into the end zone, and nothing was called. But I guess that played to Buffalo's advantage because they got the ball back with a minute left. But because otherwise it would have been a penalty and they would have, you know, had the ball at whatever the 10-yard line, moved it back, whatever, maybe to the 20, who knows, but maybe they wouldn't have scored. Who knows? Mavi, did you think he should have been flagged?
By the way, they're calling everybody else. All season they've been calling that, and it took a lot less for more people to get that called on than him. So by the way they've been calling things, yeah. But of course, it's the playoffs. They say, "Oh wait, we're gonna, you know, throw out the ticky tack rules because we don't want to, you know, ruin the game." And that would have changed things drastically, as you said. You know, and then it would have.
Well, it did ruin the game. And I'll tell you another thing.
Yeah.
Did they throw it against Ndamukong Suh in the game against the Rams? They sure did.
Yeah, and they threw it against Brady.
Yeah, but they didn't throw it against Tyreek Hill, and he did it, I mean, just blatantly taunting. I mean, just blatant. Because you could argue that Suze was, he was having a fight with Stafford, which is what it was. He thought Stafford kicked him, and whatever, but he got thrown the flag. But you're not going to throw that flag on a guy laughing at people going into the end zone? I mean, that's just absolute BS is what that is. If you're going to throw that flag all season long, every week, you cannot blow it off in the playoffs. And look, I'm not denying at all that the Chiefs won the game. You understand? You can think whatever you want of me. You know what you can do? You can kiss my tuchus. All I know is I don't care what you think of me. I'm telling you, I still think the Chiefs won the game. They did. They got it done. It was a miracle. They pulled it off. Mahomes did it. He threw two passes. They kicked a field goal. Then they ran it down their throats in overtime and threw it to Kelce. Game over. You win. You got it. You deserve it. Fair enough. There's no getting around that. So I'm not disputing that. But I am totally convinced that they blew that taunting, you know, obvious Tyreek Hill, obviously should have been a taunting penalty, without a doubt. Fair enough. They blew that off. And then I just cannot believe what I saw with my very own eyes the Buffalo Bills do with that 13 seconds. I think their coach, it was so malicious how bad he coached the Bills in the last 13 seconds of that football game. It was like the guy evaporated. It was like he disappeared because his mind was gone. I think I actually believe now that when they scored that, and I think everyone in the stadium, I think every player on the Chiefs, I think everyone there thought the game was over except Patrick Mahomes. And I think that I don't even believe Hill and Kelce thought the game was still going on. I think one person thought it was still open for discussion, and that was Mahomes. I think everyone else thought it was over, and I think McDermott thought it was over. And thus, in that moment of euphoria, where his mind and body transformed into exuberance and happiness, and that we've done it, we did it, Davis caught it. Allen did it. Allen threw another touchdown with no time left. We did it. We're going to the AFC Championship game, which they've already been in and lost. So they still had work to do. But I think he thought in that moment that he had won the game. And then in that moment, he lost himself. I firmly believe this. He lost himself, and that when it came time to kick off the ball, how do you let that guy kick the ball into the end zone and not squib that ball down and knock a few more seconds off so that they only had one play? If they would have knocked off 5 seconds or 4 seconds, you're talking about now there's 9 seconds left. There's no way in 9 seconds they go from the 15 or 20 yard line all the way down to have Butker kick a field goal. It's impossible, in my opinion. Unless he throws a bomb and completes it. He didn't have to throw a bomb because they kicked it off. They got the ball at the 25, and he threw two passes where they didn't guard Hill or Kelce, and they lost the game on a field goal that ties it, and then they win the coin toss and win it in overtime because the Chiefs ran it down their throat and scored without Buffalo ever sniffing the ball. I'm not for 1 minute going to say anything at all about the overtime rules, because I said that today and I stand by it. I don't care about all that sissy stuff about, you know, the day after you lose, you're crying about overtime rules. Take a clue from your quarterback. Josh Allen, when it was over, said, "I don't want to talk about overtime rules. It is what it is. Done." It's had nothing to do with the overtime rules.
Right, because it's never had to do with.
Right. It should have never got to overtime, but it did. And it got to overtime because Sean McDermott let it happen. Because Sean McDermott coached them crappy. He had them kick off. Then he had all of his guys playing 30 yards deep. And they were all spread out on the sidelines. And nobody guarded Hill. And nobody guarded Kelsey. And they let him get gigantic gains and get into field goal position. If you want to blame somebody for this loss, it's squarely, unequivocally, undoubtedly on the shoulders of Sean McDermott. And his face told 1,000 stories in that post-game press conference because he looked like a dog, that lost his owner. I mean, that was a lost dog is what that guy looked like because he knew he screwed it up. And nobody wants to say it, and nobody wants to talk about it. Carver, I did. It's his fault. You got to blame somebody. Don't blame overtime rules. Blame Sean McDermott for being a crappy coach in that moment. In that moment, he lost himself thinking he had won, and he got so euphoric that he forgot he had to kill 13 seconds and coach, and he didn't coach. He let Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes steal their girlfriend. Such a badass. He just absolutely is a monster in the block.
I just want to feel my burger finger.
You're so money and you don't even know it.
All right, for all on the bench, our buddy Charlie is in Indianapolis on a bench.
Hey, Pharrell. I'm kind of blue tears because of that Titans loss the other day, man. I cannot believe that Ryan Tannehill choked that up so bad.
Yeah, I mean, I thought at the end of the day, he's the reason they lost because I thought their pass rush was fantastic. It's weird. I did say on Coast to Coast on the TV show that I thought that they would sack him. And I was joking when I said it, but I kind of meant it. I mean, I was like, I didn't really believe it, but I said, I think they'll sack him 9 times. And they did, because that's how good that pass rush is, that front four of Tennessee's. And I can't fathom, I really can't muster enough energy to waste my time because I just cannot believe that they sacked him 9 times and they still lost the game. That's like a team having 6 turnovers in a game and winning. It just doesn't happen. You get your quarterback sacked 9 times, you lose 9 out of 10 times. I cannot believe that the Bengals still, not only did they win, but that Burrow still had a big game. I mean, he had over 300 yards. I thought he, when it mattered most, got it done. And I thought Tannehill's 3 picks were disastrous. And I just cannot believe that, they blew it. I mean, number one seed, home field throughout, all down the toilet because their quarterback couldn't handle the moment, apparently. And the, second-year badass Burrow did. And they went on the road. And I thought, the game, I mean, the first time he threw the ball, it got picked off. And then the pick at the 10-yard line was disastrous. And then at the end of the game, the deflection pick cost him the game. So that led to the winning field goal by McPherson. And I think the kid, is that his name? McPherson, I think it is. He was just incredible. All year, he's been incredible kicking field goals. For months, the guy's been kicking field goals like this. He hasn't missed a field goal in months. I mean, he may not have missed one the whole year. That's how good he's been. He's been, ice water in his veins type kind of guy, and he's been super clutch. And there's no doubt that, he won him the game. I think the place kicker won him the game. I mean, he kicked 4 field goals. And I thought, Burrow, overall, handling those 9 sacks, still maintained his poise and kept getting up and kept playing and kept making plays and making throws. I thought Higgins killed him. I thought he just had such a huge game catching the ball for the Bengals from Burrow. And, I thought Tannehill's pass to Brown to tie the game was incredible. And I thought, wow, this guy's really lucky that he's tied up right now because, all of his mistakes, they don't deserve to be tied. But at the end of the day, he cost him the game. That pick late in the game with under a minute left led to their death, and they're done. And I got to tell you, I don't think they'll ever win anything of any capacity with him as the quarterback. I think, if you lose with Rodgers and you lose with Brady and, you lose with guys like that and, Dak Prescott, it goes on and on, right? The teams that have lost so far in the playoffs, Tannehill to me just comes out like at the end of the day, like just so average compared to some of those great quarterbacks. And if they can't win, how the hell is his average ass going to win? So I don't think that they can actually be great and go anywhere and win a Super Bowl without a great quarterback. I think their problem in Tennessee is under center, and they need a superstar quarterback if they want to win the Super Bowl because they got a great defense, and they got a great running back in King Henry. They got the other kid was even better than Henry, Fulmer, whatever his name was. That guy was even better, and all I know is because Henry's been out for so long, but they have everything they need to be a Super Bowl contender except quarterback.
And it was just his decisions on the interception, Scott. I mean, they were like one of eight on third down conversions. And at least half of those, you see him trying to scramble like third and seven, third and eight. And yes, he has run, every now and then he'll break a big run because, someone's playing like deep coverage and he has a wide open lane that he can run for 20 yards. But this guy's not fleet of foot. And he just kept trying to run the ball. And after the first or second time, you got to realize, hey, listen, these guys are too fast. It's not going to work for me. I'm not getting the first down. And then you go to that, the second to last play before he throws a pick, before they had the fourth down where they don't get it on the run. Before that, you had the third down, the third and one, where they're running a run pass option with him and he pulls it out of Henry's gut and tries to run it himself. First of all, what are you thinking? If you have Derrick Henry, even at 50%, I'm taking him run the ball over Ryan Tannehill trying to scramble for it. But like, why are you even giving it that option that the guy can run for it when he's just blown it four different times trying to run for the first down and not getting it?
There's no doubt. I mean, you're right. there's nothing else to say. There's nothing to add to that. I mean, you're dead right. And that's it. I mean, that's as simple as it gets. I have to tell you, this is unbelievable, but Texas Tech has taken Kansas to overtime at Fog Allen. And there's 3.5 minutes left in this game. And Texas Tech is up by 80-77. On the Jayhawks at Fog Allen. And, in 20 years, 19 years, what's the difference? In 19 years, I believe that Bill Self has been swept in the season series twice. Texas was one of them. And I can never remember the other one. It's shocking, but I know for certain that twice he's been swept in the season series in his 19 years in Lawrence. Only twice has a team beaten them home and road ever. And that's, imagine how many, 19 years, you play every team in the conference twice. And he's only lost both games twice in 19 years. Right now, they're on the verge of, and it's not over, because Kansas can still win this game easily. But it won't be easy. But the bottom line is that Texas Tech has a chance to do it tonight because they beat them. They beat them in Lubbock. And they're beating him right now in Fog Allen in Lawrence. All I know is, and I have to say, I'm watching this game right now. What's that?
Oak State was the other one. It was Oklahoma State and Texas. I've swept them. That's it.
There you go. So I knew it was Texas was one of them, and then Oklahoma State was the other. So that's the only two times it's ever happened to Bill Self. Tonight would be the third time it's ever happened if Texas Tech can win this game. Now, I have to say, I don't know if you're watching this game right now, but the call I just saw was so horrendous. It's the same thing I've been telling you about nonstop on this show for years, is that there is no greater place in college basketball for home cooking calls than Lawrence, Kansas, and Durham, North Carolina. I mean, Duke and Kansas get the home cooking calls like you have never, there is nothing even remotely close to it. I have never in my life seen a team get more calls than Kansas and Duke in college basketball by refs. But here's what happened. The kid from Texas Tech got a rebound off a miss by Kansas, and he literally got his head taken off. He literally got his head taken off and his legs cut off, and he was put in a wood chipper, and they still called the foul on Texas Tech. And the kid got the rebound, and he got macheted, and they called it on Texas Tech. It was such a bad call that I wanted to get up and take my expensive TV off the wall and throw it out in the snow. These effing refs suck so bad. I'm sitting there watching this game, and I see this call, and I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. What? There is no one that watches or plays basketball that saw that call that doesn't know it was the shackiest call you've ever seen in your life. The shackiest call you ever seen in your life. Now they finally got a call right. That's goaltending. Rack it up. That's 85-80. Rack it up. That's goaltending right there, son. That's goaltending. Boo all you want, all you fat farmers. Go ahead. All those Lawrence, Kansas Jayhawk fans, go boo your ass off. You home-cooking, milquetoast mother-forellers. Honest to God. And now they're going to go review it and watch them give the call to Kansas. Right now they already called it for Texas Tech. And now it's 85-80, and all these Kansas fans are like sitting there holding their breath, and they think it wasn't goaltending. They already called it goaltending. Watch them reverse the call and give Kansas the ball at 83-80. Watch. That's what'll happen. There's a minute 21 left. All I want to see is them lose. I don't care what anybody thinks. I am so done. I'm bored. Listen, what I want to see is just for once, that ball was going down. That ball is going down. That's goaltending. All I know is I like seeing them lose in Phog Allen because they never lose in Phog Allen. Twice in 20 years, someone swept the season series. That's what I want to see. I want to see Texas Tech win this game.
It's a jungle out there. So many possibilities, prospects, and probabilities. It's easy to become overwhelmed. That's where we come in. Relax. We're your trusted source for expert information on sports gaming strategies and information. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Farrell on the Bench with Scott Farrell.
All right, for all the men. So they gave Texas Tech the call because it was the right call. It was goaltending. And then they went down to the other end, Kansas, and shot a ball. And Texas Tech goaltended that shot. So right now it's 85-82. Texas Tech just missed a shot. It's a three-point Raider lead at Phog Allen. 35 seconds left and counting. And Kansas misses a layup. And they get the foul call. Oh, my God. No one even touched him. He just fell down on his own. It's a terrible call. They're saying he got tripped. No one even touched it. He tripped on his own. He tripped on his own. He tripped over the guy's foot on his own. Are you watching this, Mafia? Are you seeing these calls? Oh, my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, I'm watching. That one was definitely ticky-tacky. I mean, it's like you said, he's driving by the guy. The guy didn't stick his foot out. He kind of, you know, they make kind of incidental contact. That's tough to call there.
He tripped on his own on his foot. The guy was just making a – he was trying to stop him, and he tripped over his foot. How's that a foul? I mean, it's unbelievable the amount of calls these guys are making every trip down the floor. This 31 seconds might take the rest of the show. Meanwhile, this is their best player at the line. It's going to be a one-point game here in a second. Guys got 33 points. I mean, you know they're going to come back and win this game, don't you, Mafia? Like, it's only a matter of time here before they win this. They win everything. That's what I like about he missed the second free throw. I like it's a two-point game. I like watching them lose because they never lose. I mean, so watching them lose to me is just beautiful. So now a foul on the sideline, 23 seconds left. Tech's going to the line, and it's 85-83 Tech. Texas Tech leading at Kansas in overtime with 23 seconds left. And they were down 10 with 5 minutes left in the game. They were down 10, and they came back and tied it. Just a side note before I forget, our boy Brian Billick, a good friend of ours over the years, the old Ravens head coach. By the way, the guy missed the front end of the 1-1. Make your free throws, bruh. Anyway, Brian Billick has joined Herm Edwards' staff at Arizona State to coach college football. He's going to be an assistant coach with Herm Edwards in Tempe. And, you know, Herm's done a good job at Tempe. There's no doubt. And who was that linebacker? Or remember that player that used to play for the Giants that used to want to kill me? Because what was I? Why did he want to kill me? Did I want to sleep with his wife?
Oh, that's a long list of people who want you dead, so I've kind of lost track. Right. Make fun of him at some point, probably.
I made fun of him or something. And then Kansas just tied it up with a three bomb with 6 seconds left. Texas has the last shot, a three ball bomb, missed. Double overtime. They hit a three bomb. Of course they did. Of course they hit a double. Of course they hit a three bomb. So it's tied up at 86. They're going to double overtime. So anyway, Antonio Pierce wanted to kill me. He's on that staff too, out in Tempe with Herm Edwards. But remember, I think, Mavi, unless I'm wrong, they did get busted for cheating, right? So they did have problems with the NCAA, Herm Edwards. He's been there like 2 years and he's already been in trouble. You know what I mean? I think Arizona State football has been under the watchful eye of the NCAA here, and I think they got busted for cheating in the last year. They did, you know, something wrong. They did some illegal recruiting, something. I know it has not been smooth sailing over at Tempe, but and I'm not tripping either. But now they've brought in Brian Billick, the former Super Bowl champion coach of the Ravens, who, remember, Mafia, he never coached again after that Ravens championship. He won the Super Bowl and then never coached again. He's been on NFL Network ever since. And, you know, frankly, he's barely on that. Remember, he was always coming on my show over the years, and he was always with NFL Network, but he never really did much with him, did he? I don't think he did.
No, he'd be someone that they throw on like from time to time as, you know, an analyst and things like that. But it wasn't like he was consistently on any one show or, you know, every day, you know, on a different spot or something like that. It would just be, you know, every now and then they bring him on.
So Abaji has 36 in this game for Kansas, and Williams has 30 for Texas Tech. And now the fans are going nuts at Fog Allen for double overtime. And, you know, if you ask me, Texas Tech blew the game. They had the game won, and they blew it. Now they've opened the door for Kansas to beat them in the second overtime. They give up a 35-foot three to tie it. I mean, you got to be kidding me. That's just a lucky shot. But the guy's been on fire. He's got 36 in the game. He's dominated the game. So for Kansas, he's unstoppable. So you got to just keep giving him the ball and let him win the game for you. No one else can hit a shot. You got to give it to Abaji. That's all there is to it. And then Williams is the guy that's been going off for Texas Tech. Nice shot off the glass. Kiss. Texas Tech has the lead, 88-86, as they start the second overtime. Pretty good game. Anyway, I wanted to mention at the very least the – I'll keep telling you what's happening in this game. I am just – I'm euphoric over – I'm actually euphoric. That's happy. I'm stoked that Brady and Rodgers are gone, that they're out of it. That for the first time since 2009, can you imagine? Since 2009, it is 2022, which I can't even fathom to begin with. But it's 2022, and since 2009, we've had Brady and Rodgers in our arse every single year in the title games. Every single year. I mean, that's crazy. One of the two of them in every single year since 09 has been in the title games. That's crazy. And that's painful, is what that is. I am so sick and tired, and I don't care what anybody thinks, in Green Bay or otherwise. I've been on the air in Green Bay forever. I've been on there forever. I was on there at CBS forever. I was on there at Sirius forever. I'm on there now, and I don't care what you think of me. I really don't. I get it. You love your team. Don't blame me. Don't blame me that your team lost and got their ass beat in that game. I mean, let's face facts. They did. Not only, you know, because people say, oh, what do you mean they lost their team? They got their ass beat, Mafia. I mean, they got pushed around and ordered around and shoved around and stepped on by the 49ers from the halftime of that game all the way till it was over. I mean, they just stepped on their face. They literally slept with their wives and girlfriends. They shoved them around, dominated them, mocked them, made fun of them, rubbed their bellies, sacked Rodgers. They hit him so many times, it was like a batting cage. I mean, it was unbelievable watching them beat up Aaron Rodgers. And, I mean, they threw him around like a ragdoll. I got to tell you, I loved every second of it. And meanwhile, I bet on the Packers. I bet on the Packers, and that's not why I'm mad. I'm not even mad. I'm happy because I don't have to watch, you know, Aaron Rodgers again next week or listen to him or spend the 2 weeks after that talking about him playing in the Super Bowl, where all we do is talk about Aaron Rodgers all day. And then the same goes for Brady. Brady's even worse. Brady's five times worse than Rodgers because we've been talking about Brady every single year for 20 years. That's all we talk about is Tom Brady. I mean, that's it. That's the entire NFL has been, and give them their respect and props and do for sure. Serve it up. Brady and Rodgers have been the best thing in the NFL for 20 years. They're the two best players in the league, hands down, for 20 years. But that doesn't mean I can't be sick and tired of them. And that's just my opinion. Like, I don't care. You don't like it? Go to bed. Have a sandwich. Drink a beer. Smoke a bong. I don't care what you think of me. I'm sick and tired of both of them. I'm sick and tired of talking about them. And that's it. And nothing else ever. The same shack every year, every single show. That's all we do is talk about Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. I'm done. I'm done with it. I'm sick of it. It just ruins my day. Now he's saying... family's going to have a big role in his decision. If he walks away, he's proud and satisfied with his career. I don't care what he does. He said today on a Let's Go podcast, it may be about his family. Just walk away then, dude. Give us all it'd be like a gigantic fart, releasing a gigantic gaseous exodus from my body. 20 years of talking about Tom Brady every day. I mean, I'm sick and tired of it. First of all, I was never a Patriots fan. And, you know, I know you hate my team. That's great. The Steelers, go for it with our 6 Super Bowl wins. They're just like the Patriots, right? And all I know is he's got 7 Super Bowl rings, played in 9 Super Bowls. That's sickening to me. There's no doubt he's the greatest quarterback ever. And I give him all the props in the world that he's the greatest quarterback ever, the clutchest quarterback, the winningest quarterback, the record-holding quarterback of every record known to man. God bless him. He's got it all. And I'm done with it. I'm just done with it. Like, I've seen enough. I've had enough. I've seen enough. I can't take it anymore. I'm done. I don't like it. Had enough of it. I'm up to here with it. So the fact that both of them are gone is, like, better than sex to me. I was like, at the end of the night, Saturday, I was like, you know, I lost the bet, which was bad enough. But I was like, you know what? I don't have to put up with Aaron Rodgers anymore. I don't give a rat's ass what Aaron Rodgers is going to do next year. I just don't. And everybody else does. So have at it. Have at it. Go chew on that. Try to guess what Aaron Rodgers is going to do, where he's going to go. Have at it. I am not spending 2 weeks, even 3 weeks, until the Super Bowl. I'm not going to spend it. This is it for me. You know, I'm not going to sit here and have the two title games Sunday and then the Super Bowl and spend my entire time for 3 weeks talking about Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. I hope they both retire. I hope they both go away. Go to hell. I don't care. I really don't. And that's with respect I say that. And you may not feel like I'm giving him that, but then you're tripping. I just said he's the best player I've ever seen in my life. And Rodgers, two-time MVP, because he's going to get the MVP this year. He's a badass, too. I get it. He's incredible. But I'll give you this. Know this. He can't beat the 49ers. He never beat them once, ever, in the playoffs. 0-4, that's it. He'll be remembered for that. He won all these awards with regular season games, not playoffs. He never beat him in the playoffs. The 49ers are his B. I mean, they just kill him. They own him, kill him, chew him, spit him out, kick his ass, step on his face. He can't beat the 49ers, and that's what I'll remember about him. He could never beat the 49ers. You lose.
My buddy's a fan of yours in Vancouver, Canada, so he hears you crystal clear. I thought I'd let you know that.
Time after time, I sit and I wait for your call.
So, Kansas has the lead, 93-91, with 10 seconds left in the second overtime. And they're at the line shooting one more free throw. They're in a timeout right now. The kid made the front end of the 1-1, and now he'll shoot the second. And if he makes it, obviously, Braun, Texas Tech will be down three, and they'll have 10 seconds to go down and knock down a three, or they're going to lose. And, of course, Kansas will win again. Now, I thought the calls in the first overtime were porous at best, but I don't think there was any bad calls in the second overtime. So I think this was decided by missed shots and frankly, a couple turnovers by Texas Tech. I mean, they missed some shots and they turned the ball over twice in the last minute or so. And that was the difference in the game. The two turnovers led to Kansas points. And they're up two right now because of those turnovers. And they're going to go up three right now. Braun hits the free throw, and that's why they won the game. It was not because of the refs. I thought the refs butchered the first overtime, but not the second. So fair enough, right? Second free throw he makes. They're up three. Here's the last chance. They're going to bring it down. They don't have a good look. They're going to throw it up from the corner. Brick. Game over. Kansas wins. So there you go. 94-91 the final. I'll see you tomorrow, 4 Eastern, on Coast to Coast on Sports Grid TV. For Mafia, I'm Pharrell. Good night from New York.